Thank you. I'm with them. I'll take the old time way. And that's a good, good thought right there. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, if you would please, in your Bible. This semester we've been talking about the book of 2 Timothy. And we will review the 1 Timothy principles in the conference on Friday morning or Thursday morning. And some of you will be there, and I'll need your help as we walk through some of those principles. However, 2 Timothy is a second book that Paul wrote to Timothy that God included in the Scriptures. I think Paul wrote numbers of letters. And by the way, I think it's a good idea for you to write letters. Write a note. Leave it. I think of a guy named Matt Nettesheim, who pastors a vibrant church today in Chesapeake, Virginia. He was a sailor down at the Great Lakes. And he came, someone invited him to come, he didn't come, and Brother Mike Goodall met him and went to visit him, and he wasn't planning to come, but he got a note from Mike Goodall. And Mike Goodall wrote him a note and said, Matt, you're very important to us. Your life matters to God, it matters to us. Please come tomorrow. He has that note in his office right this day. Because it was that note that brought him to church. He heard the gospel, got saved, and went off and now has pastored. And now two of his children are pastoring churches as well because of a note. Write a note. And Apostle Paul, much of our Bible is notes that were written. And Apostle Paul wrote this note. We believe he was probably just a few days from going into eternity. He had already gone to court once, and the Lord delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. And he knew his time was short. He would go on to say in this passage of Scripture, the time of my departure is at hand. I know I'm getting ready to die, but I'm ready. I've finished my course. I've run my race. I've fought the fight. I'm ready to go. But he wanted to give Timothy. Now, Timothy was very special. He had many proteges, many young men that followed and served with him. And he loved them all, no doubt. Archippus, he challenges him in the book of Colossians. And Titius is another. By the way, I didn't introduce my lovely mother. My mom is here. Mom, would you stand real quickly? And this is our mom, Janelle Coleman, and I'm so thankful for her. And with her is my sister Mary, and I'm the oldest of six kids, and Mary is the book of Romans. And we're very thankful for that. And then Anna is with them. Anna is getting ready to go into our United States military, but we're so glad that she is here with us today. And thank you very much. Forgive me. That's what happens when you're ADHD like I am. You just kind of get distracted sometimes. But he had many people that work with him, but he said, I have no man. At the time he wrote the book of Philippians, at least a year before this probably, he said, right now I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all the other ones right now, they all have an agenda. They all have their own ideas. They don't think like I think, and they don't have a natural care for people. But he said, Timothy does. And definitely he loved him. And he gave him a challenge in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy is definitely a charge. Chapter 1, he challenges him about his own personal walk. He gets personal with Timothy. He references his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, and he references his salvation, his ordination to the ministry. He challenged him not to be afraid. Let no man, he said, God not give you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. He really challenged him personally, chapter 1. Chapter 2, he gives him a practical challenge. And he begins to say, look, the things, be strong in the grace in Christ. I want you to be strong. Number 2, I want you to be a teacher. Take the things that you've been taught and teach them to someone else. Whoever does the teaching does the learning. You'll learn much more. I learned much more Bible, preaching the Bible, after 32 years old in my first year than I learned my whole 32 years listening to life-changing messages, hundreds and thousands of them. But teaching the Bible, that's why you want to disciple someone. You disciple someone, you'll learn yourself. Be helpful. So take the things you've learned. I want you to be strong like a soldier, selfless like a soldier, sacrificial and simple like a soldier. No man that warreth for God can get entangled with the affairs of this life. We'll always kind of have an eye for gold and an itch for more that's inside of us. But you can't serve God and mammon. You're going to have to live simple and decide, I'm going to be live contented, live simple, and ask God to help me. And then he goes on to say, be an athlete. An athlete has to be disciplined. He has to play by the rules. There are natural rules that you and I have to keep. And it doesn't matter how good of an athlete you are, if you break the rules, you don't win that way. He said, no man striveth for mastery unless he strive lawfully. Then it'll just go on, and I'm taking too much time in this passage of Scripture, but he says, be like a farmer, be faithful, be fruitful. He said, be willing to suffer, take it on the chin. Realize that life's not going to be spent well on spare time and pocket change. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be a fight, and you're going to have to learn to suffer, and don't be afraid or ashamed of the chain from time to time or from difficulties or criticisms. Then he says, be a good student. Study to show yourself approved to God. A workman need not be ashamed. And if you don't study, you will be ashamed. Maybe not today. Maybe when you get your report card, you'll be ashamed. When you have to show that to your pastor or your parents or the pastor is going to ask to hire you and ask for your grades, they might be a little embarrassing then. Or when you're asked a question, you don't know how to answer the question because you're not ready. You're not ready to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope that lieth in you. Study. And then he says, I want you to be pure. In a great house there are many vessels, vessels that unto honor and dishonor, gold, silver, wood, earth. He said, what's the most important thing when you want to drink a water is not what it's made out of, but is it clean? Is it pure? Have you purged yourself from wickedness and sin? Listen, there's a power in purity. Be pure in your motives. Be pure in your morals. And if you're not pure, there's no one else to blame but you. My wife cannot be pure for me. I can't be pure for her. It's one of those things you got to do for yourself. You got to walk with God for yourself, play your family role for yourself, and you got to be pure for yourself. That's why Paul told Timothy in this passage of Scripture in his 1 Timothy 2, keep thyself pure. It's your job. And then he talked to him about being a man of God, a servant of the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, patient, and then instructing those that oppose themselves, if God prevents you, working with people and helping them and being meek and gracious with them while they make their progress and continue to love them and walk with them and realize that everyone who's in a sinful situation has to recover themselves. You can't recover them. Then he talks about a perilous day challenge in chapter 3. He says, look, in the perilous day, there's 18 selfish symptoms. The selfish sins lead to sexual sins, laden with sins. And then the sexual sins lead to oftentimes educational worship and searching sins, ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of the truth. But then he says, here's what a perilous day needs. It needs someone who has a good, pure, strong example. Someone who is just the real deal. Your neighbor that's unsaved, the people that work with you, you can talk to your face is blue. But they're listening for a lot more than your lips. Remember, our sermon whispered, but our life shouts. What you say is one thing. How you live is another thing. They need a sterling example. They need someone who will stay when other people leave. Brother Baker said a while ago, man, there are so many exits off the high road of holiness. Boy, thank God for people who do the right thing the right way for the right reason and they don't quit. By the way, there's a lot of people out there. You can find people that fall off the wayside and fall off the wagon and do things wrong. Keep looking. You'll find happy, faithful, tenured servants if you'll look for them. Boy, that's where I want to be. All of us, all the way. Every one of us finishing strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you need to stay. Then he says, continue thou in the things which you've heard, been assured of, knowing of whom you learned them. We heard that admonition several times from the pulpit just a moment ago. Learn what you need to learn and stick with what you learn. Evaluate that. There's going to be a lot of new ideas. There'll be lots of blogs. There'll be lots of things. Continue thou in the things that you've learned. Do it. Don't get bored with the basics. And then the last thing he says a perilous day needs is a real deep devotion to the Scriptures. It's how we got saved. If from a child, you've learned the Holy Scriptures. You need, number two, you need a deep love for the Scripture. Why? Because all Scripture is given inspiration of God and is profitable. What you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. Scriptures bring success to anyone. There's an irrevocable law that God blesses every act of obedience to His Word. When you do what the Bible says, it will be right. It may be hard, difficult, challenging, but it will turn out right. As for God, His way is perfect. So it brings success. It brings seasoning that you can be thoroughly furnished, that you can be perfect and complete, and then for good works. As he finishes out the letter, he begins, and we have it divided for us in chapter 4. Let's look at it if we can, please, and I'll just take a couple thoughts and we'll be dismissed. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Once again, you see the word I charge. He's giving strong challenges in each of the chapters, personally, practically, the perilous day challenge. Now he says, I'm charging you with the understanding that whatever you do, you're getting ready to meet Jesus. And you're ready to meet his Father, who will judge the quick and the dead. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed every man wants to die. And as it's appointed, every man wants to die. And after that, the what? Judgment. And he says, you're a young man, Timothy, but get ready for judgment. Get ready for evaluation. There's 2 days you and I ought to be concerned about. You can't go back into yesterday. I wish I would many times. I can't reach into tomorrow. I'm not even sure I'm going to be there. Boast not thyself tomorrow. There's 2 days I need to be concerned about. Today and that day. When I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. God refers to the judgment oftentimes. It's that day when you and I have to give an account. He says, Timothy, wake up and smell the coffee. In the Greek, it says, get a checkup from the neck up. Yeah. He said, get your cage rattled. And remember here that in just a few days, you're going to stand before the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick. That's people who have eternal life. And the dead, those are people that are condemned to the lake of fire forever, at his appearing. And there speaks to us about anticipating the coming of Christ. Live every day with the understanding that Jesus could come today. I know for you that are engaged, you don't want to think about that. But I will say to you, we've got to live every day with the understanding that Jesus could come at any moment. And then live that day. Be conscious that you have an accounting coming. And quite frankly, I'm not ready for it. I wish I could say, like Apostle Paul, I am ready. I fought a good fight, to finish the course. There's a lot of things I regret. I'm sure he regretted some things, but he was in a much better state. But you and I need to realize, live every day, make your decisions based on what's good for you when you stand before God one day. That's the first charge. And then he tells them, preach the word. Look at verse number 2. Would you read it out loud with me? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He said, you're living in a day and age, and that day and age is getting more and more complicated and more in tragic. But people are not going to be able to take it. They can't take it straight. Years ago, I put a poem together. Give me sound doctrine. Give it to me straight. Tell me what the Bible says so I can live my life by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Give me sound doctrine. He said, but there's going to be a day and time where people can't handle it. I think they said years ago, you can't handle the truth. A lot of folks, they've lost the doctrine. It's a pillar and ground of the truth. You can't find the truth at some churches with a flashlight. They've lost it because they haven't endured sound doctrine. But he challenges Timothy. Timothy, so that you're ready for the judgment seat, you're ready to stand before God at his appearing, make sure you proclaim God's truth. Preach the truth. The way you remember a joke is you tell a joke. The way you remember the Word of God is you keep preaching the truth. You stop telling it, you'll get off track. He says, preach the truth, preach the Word, and then be instant in season, out of season. There is not a good time where it's not a good time to preach the Bible. It's be consistent. I think if we get a bad president, you can still give the gospel. If it's cold, you can still give the gospel. If it's hot, you can still give the gospel. If you're going through the worst time of your life, you can still give the gospel. We saw Brother Anthony showed her a picture this morning. Last summer, one of our tour groups was going down the road, and there was a farmer behind him with a milk truck. And he just was looking down and distracted, and he hit the back of the milk truck and destroyed our shuttle. And it was very disheartening to me when I heard about it. I wanted to make sure no one got hurt. And then I started crying about the van. the Lord gave it. I can't believe it. But the truth of the matter is, it was a beautiful thing to see Brother Eddie and that old farmer leaning up against his milk truck, giving him the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a bad day for the college, a bad day for the tour group, bad day for Brother Eddie, but a great day for that man. Be instant in season, out of season. I think about this and I need to close, but have a radio broadcast called Grace to Grow. And several years ago, one of our college students, their car went out to start the car at work and it wouldn't start. Tried to get a jump off, it wouldn't start. Finally, his lady called the tow truck company. The tow driver came by and he picked up, he hooked up his car and he said, "Where do you want me to take this?" He goes, "You got a mechanic shop?" He said, "No, just take it to the college. I live at Hiles Anderson College, 8400 Burr Street." He was miserable. But the tow truck driver said, "Well, you got such a bad day, I'll let you listen to whatever music you want and I'll tolerate it. Which station you want?" He said, "All right, 90.5 at Key FM." He said, "Really? I've never heard that one. Put that on there." They listened to it all the way from where it broke down all the way to the college, unhooked the car, probably went inside his dorm room thinking, "I'm trying to live for you and all this happens to me. I got my school bill, now I pay $150 to get my car towed. This is a terrible day." What he did not know is that tow truck driver left on that radio station for a year and a half. And on my broadcast, I say, listen, if you're listening, you're not sure if you died, you go to heaven. Oh, call us. Email me at gracetogrow@thekeyfm.com. One day I got an email. A year and a half later, an email said, "I keep hearing you say you can know for sure, and I'm not sure. Can you talk to me?" And I met him at 173rd in Calumet, Dunkin' Donuts, the best place for someone to get saved at Dunkin' Donuts, outside of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to share the gospel with him. The next, he got saved, got his salvation settled. The next Sunday night, he got baptized. Living with a girl that had two children. I said, "How about your girlfriend?" He goes, "Oh, man, she will not listen to you. She'll cuss you out." So, well, why don't you keep living a Christian life? Started discipling, went through the discipleship lessons. He went through all 20 lessons. And I said, "Well, let me try to meet your wife. I'll take my wife over, or your girlfriend." And I remember going, he told her ahead of time, going to come. And Linda bought her a Bible, put her name on it. And I bought him a Bible, put his name on it. Went by their house. They live on 57th Street here in Maryville. And went by there, and she was sitting around a little lawn chair, and she had very colorful language. But she was just, at the same time, she was appreciative of the Bible. "Thank you. My boyfriend's told me a lot about you." And what I did not know is that God was working in her heart, where she worked. A few weeks later, I met with Ron and asked him about how he's doing. He goes, "You know, I think something's happened to Maritza." He said, "She's really weird." Said, she's kind of calmed down a lot, you know. She keeps asking me, you know, "What church you're going to and why are you going?" And I'm thinking, why do you want to know? You're going to go blow it up or something like that, you know? And I said, "Well, maybe God's doing something." He goes, "Oh, she said she met some guy at work. I don't know. I'm going to find out who he is. I'm going to have something to talk to him about." I said, "Well, tell me what happened." I went over and talked to her. She said, "Pastor, I was checking out on my drawer at work, and the weirdest guy at work, he's always talking about something. He came up, he said, 'Ritza, you know you're going to heaven when you die?'" She said, "No." I said, "Don't you think you ought to know that?" He said, "Yeah, my boyfriend's telling me about that." And he got to lead her to Christ at the cash register. And then I got to find out the story. They both got baptized. I did their wedding. Their two little girls finally came to know the Lord as their Savior. All because someone was instant in season and out of season. Boy, you can be faithful. I just now pulled up to their house the other day and talked to them again. And just rejoice as they think about it. Matter of fact, I saw Ron. And he just said, "Pastor, I don't know why I'm so emotional today, but I really thank you for telling me about Jesus." Boy, I'm thankful for that guy who went through a hard time. And you may be going through a good time or a hard time. Any time's a good time to preach the word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the people of God. Bless them. I pray that you'd be glorified in the opportunity we have to be together in chapel today. We love you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, just stay in your seat if you would this morning. But would you say to the Lord, "God, please help me to be conscious of my day of accountability with you. Help me to anticipate your coming by living pure and holy, personally, practically, and even in a wicked world. Then help me to be faithful to proclaim your word in season and out of season. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, and we thank you for being in chapel. Let's stand together if we can real quickly.